There are bag rats. And then there are caddies.
Baby.
Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy, on Real Golf Radio.
Because it's a pretty dang good walk-up song right there. I mean, it just gets the juices flowing, right, caddy?
Yeah, that's a tough one to match. I think there's some other good ones, though. Like, you know, my milkshake's a good one. And my Take On Me, I think, is the best one. Because the crowd all tries to sing it, and it's just a debacle. So
okay.
When they hit those high notes, you know. But, yeah, the walk-up song's cool. I like the walk-up song.
Enter Sandman was the best, right, for Mariano Rivera when he would come in as the closer.
I believe that's what Patrick Reed used for his now.
Really? Okay. All right.
Somebody had to go there, right? I mean, you know.
Oh, that was a good one. You caught me off guard on that one.
Well, you know, we have a repertoire.
Oh, man. I talked to a guy that was hanging out with us. Mark Melanson, many of you guys know him. He pitched in the major leagues for like 16 years. His first call-up, he shared the story. It was unreal. His first call-up, he gets the call, and he's playing triple. He's warming up, and they're like, we need you up right now. And he's going to Fenway to play with the Yankees. That's his first call-up. So he gets this plane, and he doesn't have an – he just has to take a regular flight, and he's in some little town. I don't remember where. So he finally – it was this whole story about how they got on the plane, that he and his wife, they finally get up there. They get to the ballpark. I mean, it's already like game started or something. They take him in, and Rivera's sitting there, and he's like, let's go. We got to get ready. We need to be out there. He's like – you can imagine. He's like deer in the headlights, right? And Rivera's telling him to hurry up. So they – in between innings, he finally gets all dressed, gets his uni on, and then they go jogging – through Fenway out to the bullpen, and you know, he didn't pitch that game, but just the whole idea of that. I mean, that's so cool. So cool.
Oh, just that would be the most amazing thing. The pinstripes jogging to the bullpen in Fenway. Wow.
That's that, too good. How's that I'll a welcome what, welcome to the major league moment?
Welcome to the majors. Yeah. At least you don't have Clemens throwing at your head, right?
Right. So, yeah, good point.
But I just thought I got the best walk-up I've ever seen. The best walk-up was when they had, I don't even know the guy's name, but it's the dude who played the trumpet song live during the game as a walk-up for the reliever coming in. That was the best one. If you haven't seen it, you got to look for it. I think it's Timmy the Trumpet or something. Anyway. That's the cool walk-up one.
That's the one. All right.
Yeah, that's the hands-down winner. Yeah. Okay. But anyway.
All right. I like it.
We got a lot to talk about here. Yeah. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, we do. So Scott Michaud was just on there, and you didn't have the benefit of listening because I recorded that before you came on. But one of the things that he talked about in his article in the Daily Drive was the what Scotty's doing right now and the numbers that he's throwing up, but he's just not – doesn't have that same flair – that Tiger Woods has. And it's interesting because he the language that he used was so good, so well written. I don't know if you could ever be the showman of Tiger. I don't know if you could ever quite do it the way he did it. And nobody really ever has. I mean, Arnold had his kind of swagger. And he's the one. I mean, when you think of swagger and that kind of showmanship on the golf course, is there really anybody other than Palmer and Tiger? I mean, I know other people have their deal, but those were the two, weren't they?
Chi-Chi?
Yeah, it's a little, I guess, but different.
Here's the thing, right? I bet you the first time Chi-Chi did the sword, he just did it and didn't really think about it, right? He probably just did it, and then he's like, ooh, I got a shtick, let's keep it up. So my player asked Tiger one time, he said, he was paired with him in the final round of a major. And he said to Tiger, tongue in cheek in the locker room, he goes, you pull any of that fist pump stuff on me, I'm bringing it right back at you. You know, and Tiger got the biggest kick out of that. But then he asked him, he said, hey, do you like practice this stuff? You plan it, whatever. And Tiger goes, I've never thought about it. It just happens. It See? Just happens in the moment. Never think about it.
That's the difference. That's the difference between Chi-Chi's was a shtick, and that's what I was going to actually say before you said it, is it felt like a shtick. Tiger just, and Palmer too, I think that was just kind of his, he just had the flair for the dramatic. This is what Scott Michaud said in his article on Daily Drive. He said, he exerted his will on the golf course and his outsized stardom drew all the oxygen. His confidence and skill was such that he always seemed to be able to reach a little deeper at certain moments to pull off dramatic shots that left tongues wagging and rivals dragging. I thought that was really amazing. That was great writing.
Well, how about Sebi for doing some of that stuff?
Okay.
Sebi was good at it.
Good point.
Right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really good at it. No, it's great. I mean, you watch Tiger, it's awesome for the crowd, for the player to react like that. Even someone who's really much more low-key on it, but like let's look at who's the coolest golfer in the history of the planet. Mm. And he has the coolest little reactions is Fred Couples. I mean, think about it, right? He doesn't react a whole lot, but it's like subtle stuff, but it's Freddie, so it's like the coolest thing you've ever seen. And then Jack lifting the putter with his left hand, that was his signature thing, right? Like he did when he made the yes sir putt on 17. The way he would lift the putter with his left hand. So that was Jack's move. And I bet if you ask Jack, he never even real, you know, he didn't do it on purpose. He just did it. It's just his way of doing it, right? So different guys have different things, but it's cool to have the emotions. I'm pretty sure Ben Hogan wasn't doing any of that. That was Hogan. He wasn't celebrating anything. He was probably just, you couldn't even tell. Something just happened. So Scotty is, he doesn't have those emotional reactions to a putt going in or this or that. That's just Scotty.
So Scotty's the Walter Payton.
Well, look.
Because Sweetness just went in and dropped the ball. I mean, that was it. I
mean, yeah. Well, Scott, yeah, I mean, you can use that old coach's line of when you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before.
Right.
Right. And that's, well, okay. It's, Scotty's obviously a genuinely pretty humble guy. I mean, he knows he's good. I'm sure he's got tons of confidence, but he's not, you know, look, Tiger, I would not describe Tiger as, you know, would you say he's humble? Well, not, Tiger wasn't in your face, I'm the best, I'm this or that. You ever hear Tiger say, I'm the best?
No,
ever?
No.
One time?
No.
No. He never said that, did he? Tiger never went there in that way. Tiger just said, you know, I want to win or second stinks or whatever. He wasn't like the ego guy sticking it out there and throwing the gauntlet down. He just kind of, it was just matter of fact, this is how I think and this is what I'm out here to win and that's it. And so in a way he never was like, you know, patting himself on the back like, oh, I'm the guy to beat. I'm the top dog. Nobody's going to touch me. He never did any trash talking like that. Right. He might do some fun trash talking just to mess with somebody like the guys do. But yeah, I mean, Scotty's just, you know, he's a very humble guy. It's just his personality. So,
and yet at the same time, he did say it several times in Masters interviews that when I was there a couple weeks ago, I hate losing. I want to win so bad, and I hate to lose. That, and I think that's something that the best share. You have to have that, right? I mean, you have to have that mentality.
Okay, so I'm not aware of any professional golfer of the hundreds I've been around who doesn't hate to lose. Tell me who, I'm cool with losing.
No, but everybody, I think a lot of people accept the fact that I'm going to top 20 and they're going to pay me a lot of money for this. And it's a good gig. I mean, there's a lot of,
yeah,
guys
I that, disagree with that whole, I disagree with the whole mindset that that's special thinking at all. Mm. I don't think that separates you. I don't think that's the reason to any degree why somebody's good is because they just, I refuse to lose. Well, you can refuse to lose and get beat if you're not really good. I don't think it has anything to do with anything.
I don't know. In Moneyball, Billy Beane said he hates losing more than he likes winning, and there's a difference.
I mean, everybody hates to lose. When I caddied and a guy finished second by a shot, it's a terrible feeling when you lose by one shot. That's worse than losing by two shots. Much worse. Because you feel like that one shot, you can go to the 847 different examples, even though you only hit 264 shots, of where you could have made a difference. It's terrible to lose by one shot. It's a terrible feeling. It really is.
Hey, Caddy, before
It feels better to finish fifth by three than it does to lose by one.
Mm.
No question.
Mm, I love that.
Or it doesn't feel as, let me put it this way, it doesn't feel as bad. You can feel better about finishing sixth than losing by one and finishing second. No question. It's terrible. It's terrible. That's a bad thing. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like a bittersweet feeling almost, because you played well, you did well. You're appreciating that, but it's especially probably if you don't win a whole ton, it's worse because you only have so many tries at it. So it's probably even worse if you never have a shot at winning. So I think everybody hates losing. I don't think that is. To me, if Scotty goes, I just hate losing, I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, I hate it when I'm getting in the hit on the head by hail when I walk outside. That's the statement anybody would make. Who doesn't hate losing? Sorry, I'm on a little bit of a roll here.
Scotty Scheffler has twice as many wins this season, four, as rounds of even par, two. He has zero rounds over par. That's from Justin Ray on his Twitter feed, which Justin is. It's another Justin gem, but he's playing that kind of golf, Caddy. He's playing that well right now. Can Scotty Scheffler, can he carry the tour right now that is struggling a little bit? TV ratings are down. There's a lot of discord between, you know, the LIV and the PGA Tour, and it's wearing some fans out. Do you think that Scotty Scheffler can kind of carry that load?
I didn't realize that it was a problem that ratings are down. Isn't streaming way up? Aren't more people watching golf now than have ever watched it before?
It's harder to quantify, but I think you're right, especially come the Masters. And that's what we heard from Scott Michaud in the last segment, that he would believe, you know, Augusta would never share those ratings, but there were more people that watched the Masters this year than ever before.
Yeah. I think it's easy for people to, look, the ratings are down on TV. Well, I don't even watch TV anymore. I'm watching YouTube or something on my phone. I hardly ever watch TV. So, and I'm old. So I'm more prone to watch TV than most people watching anything now. So I disagree with that okay. Whole rating thing. It's not my business. I don't know anything about it. But if you don't think less people are watching TV and watching something else instead, watching the golf a different way, then you probably aren't paying attention to all the ways to watch golf now that didn't exist 2 years ago.
I like it. He's America's favorite caddy.